desire to be with us for a time of worship this morning. And I know we have several guests with us, so I'm going to ask my brethren to share a bulletin, or at least a sermon outline, that's in the bulletin with those that may not have one. You're very welcome to follow along. And if you're visiting with us, I know already your first impression is, wow, 11 points? I prayed for a short sermon. We may have to stop and eat lunch before he finishes, or something like that. But we'll get it in. Remember, there was a cell phone commercial years and years ago, the television, where a man or woman be walking around with his phone in the air, and he'd keep asking or saying over and over again, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" The idea was that for that phone company, no matter where you go, you'll always be heard. The implication is, with some brands of phone or service, there are places that you're not going to be serviced and you'll not be heard. Well, even in a biblical sense, too, in spite of all the promises that God hears and answers prayers, and knowing about all the Bible admonitions to pray, and we've read and heard about God's people that have been mighty and prevailed in prayer, there has been times in your life and mine when we prayed persistently, we prayed earnestly and sincerely, and prayed for something legitimate, scriptural. However, it's failed to come about. We get discouraged. Sometimes one may say, does God really answer prayer? And if God does answer prayer, why didn't he hear and answer mine? And why didn't he answer it the way that I asked for it? See, our prayers to God provides one of the best weapons to use to defeat the devil and his work. The devil knows that with prayer we can move forward like a mighty army. With prayer, we can reach the hearts of loved ones. In prayer, there can be messages delivered that will reach the hearts of individuals. Prayer could even increase the number of our missionaries, or help us work in a spirit of unity. The devil, with that information or knowing that, he says, I think I'm going to try to find a way to jam that communication. So the devil has some jamming devices in your life and mine, and God points those out in his word. And that's what our lesson is this morning. Things that hinder prayer. Number one, pride or self-righteousness. That was in our text that was read to us this morning. Pride is exemplified in self-interest, self-trust, self-sufficiency, or self-glorying, self-will, self-service, self-seeking. And when Jesus begins the parable, he addresses some of his audience who were more concerned about self than in the discipline of discipleship. In the text, he spake also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They determined by their own standard, their own measure, that they were okay with God. No matter what the rubric was for God's standard or what God described that Christianity should look like, they said, that doesn't matter. I think this is what Christianity should look like, or discipleship should look like. And they said that is the standard. And Jesus said, let me tell you a story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. But Jesus' conclusion is, I say unto you, this man won. Went down to his house justified rather than the other. See, but both of them prayed. What's the matter? Why wouldn't God accept both prayers? Oh, no, because one involved an element of pride. Self. God, I thank you that I'm not this or that or even like this man. God, let me tell you how good I am. 1, verse 13. Whoso stops his ears at the cry of the poor. You stop your ears at the crying of the poor. He also shall cry himself and shall not be heard. I don't know who the author of this poem is, but exemplifies the meaning of that verse. It says, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer will be for others. Help me in all the work that I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live for thee. Others. You wonder why your prayers may not be heard. Answered. Perhaps this might be the one in the list that causes your communication with God to be jammed. Number 3, willful sin or disobedience. I just put a list of verses. Hopefully that will draw your attention to the life that we live must be according to God's standard. To read these for you, or you can see I printed almost the entire verse in your notes. But in Isaiah 59, beginning at verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Not God's problem. God can do it. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save or reach you. Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Whose fault? Not God's. Don't blame God if your prayer is not heard. Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it can't hear. Your. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Never said to yourself, oh, I don't like to hear God's word read. I don't want to hear what God has to say about the matter. And then we'll say, oh, God help me. Well, wait a minute. God won't listen to our prayers unless we listen to his precepts. Devil jams our devices. Wonder why? God, why aren't you answering my prayer? Can you hear me now? Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. See, willful sin? Disobedience? 1 Peter 3, verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I just sin willfully and don't care, let's do it my way. And God doesn't hear. Answer. Prayer. Number 4 is doubt. Doubt. I'll read the whole section. In James chapter 1, I'll read verses 5 through 8. It begins by saying, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God, I need help with my knowledge, my understanding. I pray, God, give me wisdom. So let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraids not. and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubts is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You ever prayed to God and with all that faith and confidence, and you say you got your hands folded and head bowed and eyes closed, and you're saying, God, make it happen. God, you can do it. And then we walk away and talk to our friend and neighbor, and let's say, I just don't think it's going to happen. What did you just do? Double-minded man? Over here, all bold is God, you can do it. I don't think God's going to do it. Oh. Over here, with all faith, but James says, let him ask in faith. Yeah, sure did. He said that right there. But he said, nothing doubting. So sometimes when we're in the crowd, we're bold in faith, but we get out here, we're kind of going, I heard it when I was a youngster to illustrate this. The preacher said, if you're going to pray for rain, you better carry an umbrella. If you're going to pray for increased attendance, you better set up some folding chairs. Pray in faith. Nothing doubting. In Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. J.B. Phillips had a book out many, many, many years ago called Your God is Too Small. They used this verse as his illustration. And he said, we're going to pray. And Paul is saying, there's no one to him, meaning God, who is able, first of all, to do. God, you can do it. But then it says he can do exceeding. So whatever God is, whatever we're asking God to do, he's able to do it and exceed it. Then he adds a third word, abundantly. God, you can do it. You can exceed what I'm asking, and you can do it abundantly over and over and over again. God, you're able to do that. Above all, God, you can do more than I'm even thinking about or that I can even imagine. God, you can. Above all that we ask or think. Why don't we pray more? Because God can do. Sometimes because we doubt. The Bible's encouraging us to ask. Anything. Just ask. Number five. It's a failure to ask. James 4 verse 2. You have not because you ask not. That's a simple one. You have not because you ask not. Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, ask. In Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul said, be careful in nothing. Don't be anxious. But in everything. Everything? Yeah. What's happening in your life that needs prayer? In everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace that passes understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Yeah. I need to ask. You have not because you ask not. Number six is selfishness. James continues the theme. James chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and receive not. So here I'm thinking, well, I've already met, I'm meeting these other qualifications, God. I'm not doubting. You can do it. I'm great for our needs. Everyone first said, but not our greeds. Needs can be answered. Sometimes our greeds cause the prayer to be jammed in our communication. Number 7. I've got to look at the clock again. Number 7, unforgiving attitude. Jesus said in Matthew 6:14, it's conditional. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. He puts the negative. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Usually we end our prayers, pretty much almost every prayer, forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name, amen. Certainly abundantly asking for our sins to be forgiven. Hardly ever is that phrase not mentioned in a request to God, in a prayer to God, forgive us. We know our shortcomings, we know our limitations, and we certainly want to be forgiven, that we might stay on God's side, that others might know to whom it belongs. So certainly we're in our prayers, we're diligent, forgive me, forgive me. But then it's conditional, as we forgive others. How you doing with that one? As we forgive others, there'll always be an occasion to forgive others. Even in the most casual way, in a sense of good manners, we're very quick to ask others to forgive us. You know, if you're passing in front of somebody and stepping over, they say, oh, excuse me, please. Or there's a line, somebody's in line, you need to get to the other side. Oh, excuse me, could I get through here? Excuse me. Or pardon me. And even in the most casual way, we recognize a need for forgiveness or pardon or excuse me, please. And we almost think they're going to do it because, well, I don't even wait for a response. Excuse me, please. I'm coming through. Especially if I crossed over in front of someone and I stepped on their toes, I don't want to have my toes stepped on. I don't want to have it come back exactly as I've done unto them. Excuse me. So when we're praying, yeah, Father, we're quick, forgive me. Thank you. Yeah. But how are we doing in our forgiveness of others? Number 8, neglect, do nothing. This is Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer. And this is, and watch. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. So when you think about the content of your prayer, if continue in prayer, Arthur, now the things that you said, the things that you're asking for, the things that you want to do, now continue in what you're saying. God, help me to be stronger. Well, now go do that. Strengthen yourselves in faith through your through attendance in Bible study or association and worship assembly and getting together and calling on one another in time of need. Continue in prayer and watch in that the things you've asked for. Jesus said, watch and pray. He even prayed, well, not my will, but thine be done. I want to do what you want me to do. Sometimes we just don't do, but we pray. Number 9, family relationship. 1 Peter 3:7, ye husbands, in like manner dwell with your wives according to knowledge. So this is something we should know. You know, we parents, if we haven't told our children, or dads, if you haven't told your son, this is something we need to share. Husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the woman, weaker vessel, but as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. There's our phrase for the title of our lesson. To the end that your prayers be not hindered. Family relationships, and we could enlarge that circle like a pebble dropped in a water, and we see the ripple effects. Not only the husband-wife relationship, but I'm sure any relationship that we have with one another either helps or hinders prayer. Number 10, lack of persistence. Luke, I'll just take the one in Luke 18, verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end. Meaning, I want to tell you another story. That men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't faint in prayer. I mean, you might get weary from your prayers. So I've been long in prayer, but don't get weary of prayer. Of talking to God. Just as we would in conversation with family or friends. Can't wait to see you. I'm looking forward to getting with you so we can share a story or tell an experience. That's where we should be with God. Can't wait to talk to you. Let's walk and talk. Don't always have to assume the position. Hold your hand, bow your head, close your eyes. I pray when I walk and talk. I pray when I'm driving. I don't close my eyes. The last one, number 11. Be seen by others. Vain repetitions. This is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. In almost this show in the text that was read to us this morning. These Pharisees, Matthew 6, verse 5. When you pray, Jesus said to his disciples, thou shalt not be as the Pharisees are. Well, how are the Pharisees? Jesus gathers his disciples around them. You see what they're doing? They go, oh, yes, yes. Jesus, don't do that. Don't do that. He says, they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So they receive. But they were one, but not from God, from men. They have their reward. When you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Now, if I'm driving on the freeway and somebody cuts me off and I say, Lord, help me, I don't stop and say, Lord, I thank you for the nice day we're having and for the safe journey thus far. I'll get right to the point, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I'm not long in prayer. Lord, help me. Three words. Lord, help me. In the last, I just put that verse in your notes, but Matthew 6, verse 8, says, your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. Why bother to pray if God already knows what we need because He wants to hear from us? And there's at least six ways God may answer your prayer. I put those in your notes. He may say yes. Exactly what you've asked for. Here it is. Or he may say no. He may say wait. We've done that as parents with our children. The answer to your request, son or daughter, is yes, but not right now. Did the parent answer the prayer or the request? Sure did. Maybe not with the answer they wanted to hear. But it's answered. May say, here's something better. I know what you've asked for, but you know what? I have something better in mind to give to you. Or as God answered Paul's request. No, here, I've got a thorn in my flesh, God. Can you take it away? God says, no. I'm not taking that thorn away. You have to live with it the rest of your life. But my grace is sufficient for you. Jesus is in the garden. Surely the Father will answer the Son's request. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Remove it. God says, no, I'm not removing that. But I'll send an angel to strengthen it. There may be some things in your life that you can't change by prayer. You have to live with it. Might be an illness. Might be the neighborhood you live in. Might be the job you're on. You just can't change it. We pray sincerely and earnestly. God change it. But God, when He doesn't change the thing, will change you. Change you. You know, I had that sign on my classroom floor when I was teaching special ed in San Diego Unified. I had it more for my age in my classroom than I did for the student. The sign said, when you can't change the circumstance, change your attitude. Because circumstances can't always be changed. But you can change your attitude. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament Church. Not a Christian. You got to use the rest of your formula. Number one, you need to hear the good news, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to hear that message. Secondly, Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sin. We need to believe that gospel message. Then when we believe that message, it should reform or change our life. We call it repentance. Jesus said in John, or in Luke chapter 3, verse 3, and also in verse 5, except you repent, you'll perish. So we put repentance into that formula. Then we need to confess our faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It's in Acts chapter 8, that's what Philip did with the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian heard Philip preach unto him, Jesus said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? He said, if you believe, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stopped the chariot. And they both, notified, be baptized. They both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. He came up out of the water. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. So there's a formula, a recipe, or steps in becoming a Christian. Hear the good news. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in that Jesus is God's Son, and you can be baptized. From that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the invitation we extend. If that's your resolve to become a Christian by following that formula or those steps, just come and have a seat beside me. And at the close of the song, I'll simply ask you, what's on your mind? And you say, Brian, I want to be baptized. And we can accomplish that right now.